My next guest understands that as good as anybody, because my next guest is one of the best ambassadors and one of my favorite ambassadors of Detroit Lions football. I recently got the chance to meet him for the first time at Little Caesars Arena. It was my job to help him find food, and I took that job seriously. When you think of people who have been through the ups and downs of the Detroit Lions, you think of Lomas Brown. He joins us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Lomas, great to have you, and what a scene it was in Detroit over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness, man. It was one word to describe it would be epic. It was just an epic scene to see all the people that were down, that came downtown to participate in the draft. Over 700,000 people over the 3 days that it was down there. And, man, you just seen the sea of Honolulu blue and silver throughout that crowd that was there. And it's just amazing what Detroit did as a city to put that show on. And I told everybody, now it shouldn't be a hard sell to sell Detroit anymore. People from the outside got a chance to witness Detroit. It shouldn't be a hard sell to get us to get anything we want. I want the Olympics here. I'm shooting for it all. Let's get the Olympics.
Why do you think 700,000 people showed up to an NFL draft in Detroit? Why so many more than other cities?
Well, first of all, I like to give the Lions a lot of credit for the season that they had. I think by them having the great season that they had, I think that kind of kept the ball rolling. And right behind the season, you know, you have the draft that comes in. So I just think the momentum from the Lions season is part of the reason. And I just think it's here. I just think it's here in Michigan. I think it's the region that we're in. I just think we're located at. It's easy for people to get here. I think because we got Canada right next door to us, 5 minutes away. People that get to enjoy the international flavor, too. So there's just so much to do here in Michigan. And like I say, man, we showed up as a fan base and showed out.
Somebody recently said to me that their whole life, all they ever wanted was a general manager who would wheel and deal all the way through the draft. I guess they finally got what they wanted.
Hey, we did, and we do, man. And Brad, we trust. I mean, this guy's just phenomenal. Now, you're going to scratch your head about certain things that he does, but in the end, it's going to make sense to you. Because, again, I think our third pick, the running back safety / kick returner, you know, it was kind of a head scratching, especially after the year that Jahmyr Gibbs had and the year that David Montgomery had going over 1,000 yards. Like I say, with Brad, you know, he has a master plan on how they want to use him. The great thing that we do know about this young man is that he's a football player, because that's all Dan Campbell, that's all Brad Holmes, that's all they bring in here is football players. So we do know that about him. He has some grit to him, and he's a tough guy.
And you know what? He's unique. And I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but I like unique skill sets. And that's what that particular player was. And if nothing else, it just shows that in that case, he's a very unique, dynamic player. And in the case of the other kid, the big offensive lineman from Canada, it just goes to show that they're doing their homework. And regardless of whether or not that you like that pick or not, they're doing their homework and they're trying to take a swing for a home run. And I like that.
Yes, and it has to be a fit, too. That's the thing I take away from Brad Holmes' press conferences. The player has to be a fit in what they're trying to get accomplished. I go back to the tackle that they took out of LSU, and Brad said it was a certain way that he pass rushed. It's a fit. They're looking for that certain type of way that guy pass rushes to fit in with the rest of those guys there. So I'm quite sure each and every draft pick, not only do they have to be the right person, right player, but they have to be the right fit for this team that's trying to get a Super Bowl in 2024.
Lomas Brown joins us. It feels like we know what the offense will be capable of next season. A lot of familiar faces coming back. But the defense, what can that look like next season? Because there's a lot of new faces coming in over there.
Yeah, so I think the quickest way to help those new faces coming in on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the secondary, is to beef up your front line and beef up your pass rush. We know that the secondary and your pass rush are tied together. They're hip to hip. They're tied at the hip. So, again, if he keeps beefing up that front line, DJ Reader bringing him in, like I say, drafting the young kid out of LSU, us continuing to let a lean McNeil flourish, hopefully some of the guys like Levi Onwuzurike and Josh Pascal, hopefully those guys can stay healthy and keep improving. John Kaminsky, you know, if those guys, James Houston, if those guys continue to get better up front, then that's just going to help out that young secondary, because we do have some young guys back in that secondary, but we have some talented guys. So they're just tired at the hip, man. So I think Brad and them are looking in the right direction, looking in the right place to beef up that defensive side of the ball, and that's up front.
Speaking of the defense, were you on the Terrion Arnold train before that pick was announced, and what was your reaction? Was your reaction like the 700,000 people in attendance that night?
Yes, it was. I wasn't on that train before the pick. I admit to that. But once they made that pick, it made full sense to me. I agreed 110% with that pick because, again, that was one of the glaring areas that we needed to improve. Yeah, and you know what it is? If you think about what Brad and them are doing, which I agree with, they're bringing in competition. So even the guys you signed as free agents, your Carlton Davis III, the other guys that you brought in already in free agents, these guys know you're sending a message to all these guys that this is open competition and this is real open competition. Sometimes you say that and it's not really met. You know, you say that to kind of get guys motivated. But I think now, other than Carlton Davis, the third, I think it's real competition back there for who's going to be lining up in our secondary next year.
And obviously they needed corners, and of course they also needed some guards because they brought back Graham Glasgow. They brought in Kevin Zietler. These were shorter deals, and this is your area of expertise. They, of course, drafted a couple of guys, and Giovanni Manu, they drafted the kid in the sixth round. And of course, these are kids, especially in Manu's case. So I thought it was interesting because there's talk of already moving him into a guard spot. But everyone's saying that he's a big project. There's a lot of development that's going to go along with him. Being somebody that was a guard primarily in the league, if you're moving from tackle over to guard, how much work and how much is going to go into that development for him? What's his learning curve going to look like?
Yeah, you know, and I was the opposite, so I was a tackle, but they moved me. I got moved into the guard position at the University of Florida, and oh my God, I lasted there maybe a week. I had to get out of there, man. Things were happening so fast in the guard position. And think about it, you have to have your head on a swivel all the time because you get guys coming from either side, straight ahead on you at the guard position. And like I say, things happen so much faster because the guys are right on top of you. Whereas the tackle position, you got a little time. You got a little time to kick, set, bang. You got a little separation between you and the defensive end. Now, the biggest problem at the tackle position is that if you get beat, that's it. Guard position, you could have some help from the center or maybe even the tackle. Tackle normally don't have any help unless they line a tight end up over there. So, you know, that's the biggest difference. I think for him, being 6'7", 6'8", it's going to be leverage. And that's the biggest thing, one of the big things. He's going to have to work on leverage in his hands, getting his hands up quickly on those guys because, again, things happen so much faster on the inside than it does on the outside at the tackle position.
Well, you got to be talented to play all those spots on the line like you did. Christian Mahogany, by the way, that other guard they took in the sixth round out of Boston College. I'm not sure how familiar with that you are with the series Ted Lasso, but I've always felt like Dan Campbell is football's version of Ted Lasso, a guy that all of his players rally around. He also has great assistants. How surprised were you when Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn both came back this offseason?
Wasn't surprised. Love Ted Lasso. He also has that quirky way to him, too. But it gets things done. Dan kind of has that quirky way to him, too. You know what I'm saying? And it's getting things done. And it's from the respect factor. I think when your players respect you, especially Dan Campbell, knowing that he sat in those same lockers when he played in the league, I think that bode well for him. And I also think it gives Aaron Glenn, and I think it gives Ben Johnson the opportunity to get their feet up under them. You know, sometimes coaches aren't ready to move on. You know, sometimes they still need to be seasoned some more. And I think, again, with Ben Johnson being so young, with Aaron Glenn being so young in the game, I think those guys wanted to take their time, make sure they got their footing up under them before they ventured off into, you know, becoming head coaches, because this might be a one-shot deal. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of situation you're going into. You definitely want to make the best of it. So I'm not shocked. I think that's actually a smart move on those guys' part.
What's left on the to-do list this offseason?
What's left? I think that signed Jared Goff. I think that's the thing that they have to do. You want to solidify that as soon as possible, man. You want to make sure that your leader, you know, your quarterback is signed and he's happy. And, you know, for them to take care of Amon-Ra, take care of Penei Sewell, that's great right there. But they definitely have to be looking to try to take care of Jared.
Lomas Brown, one last thing on the draft, and to kind of bring this all full circle, and just the scene in Detroit. Can you believe that we're here organizationally with the Ford family? I'm dying to know how it's been explained to you, just how they've made it right. Whether it's somebody like yourself or Barry Sanders or Calvin Johnson, it is clear that they, this family, have become self-aware, and that it, just as big as anything else, they've become self-aware being a reason that this entire franchise has changed. What have you seen? What have you been made aware of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think Sheila Hamp Ford gets as much credit as she deserves. I really think she deserves a lot more credit than she gets for doing what she did, for handing over the organization to a Rod Wood, bringing in a Chris Spielman, Rod Wood, Chris Spielman, and them bringing in Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, and changing the whole culture. We knew what the culture of the Lions was before this year. It was same old Lions. You know, for you to come in and for them to change the culture that's been around here for 30-some-odd years, to change it in a couple of years, man, she has to be ecstatic about where this team is right now, where this team is going to go, how the fans have responded to this team. It's just been amazing. So, like I said, I think the draft was just a tip of the cap. That really just kind of finished off everything and just kind of put an exclamation point on this season. But they're looking farther ahead. They're looking to, like Sheila Hamp Ford say, she's looking to, forward to hosting the Lombardi Trophy. And I think that's their goal and what they're trying to get accomplished this year.
Well, if they keep doing what they're doing, I think they've got a pretty good shot. Lomas Brown, what do you think of the jerseys, by the way?
I love the jerseys, man, because, again, another Chris Spielman, you know, influence in there. You can see the old school. I love that they kept a lot of the old school in the jerseys. My favorite uniform was our throwback uniform. I love playing in those uniforms. Mostly all the guys I played with back in the 90s, we loved that uniform. So I'm really happy they paid homage to the guys back in the 90s, the guys before us, and kept it simple, man. I love it. I love it.
Well, I'm sure they got one waiting for you. Lomas Brown, one of the great Detroit Lions. Great to talk to you. Can't wait to do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Good talking to you.